Hello, everyone. Welcome to Let's Go Up Podcast Edition,
where we explore the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
We are your hosts. I'm Dean.
And I'm Caritas.
And Caritas, today is our 52nd podcast. We have been going for 1 year.
Explains the happy birthday balloon. Happy birthday to this podcast thing.
Thingy.
1 year old.
We are 1 year old today.
This is where the real action starts, you know?
It's taken me a whole year to get used to hearing myself, watching myself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say washing myself.
Washing yourself.
I said watching myself.
Watching yourself, yeah.
Watching myself.
It's time to graduate from the diapers, Dean, and go to the big boy pants.
So today's subject is all about spirit to spirit. We're talking about our spirit connecting with the spirit of God. It's going to be so good.
Yes. Perfect. Yeah.
Caritas, I have all our episodes here.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay, let me see. Let me pull it up.
We started off a year ago with Say What. We were so nervous.
What are we doing?
We hardly knew what we were even doing.
I still don't know what I'm doing.
Nor do I, but...
Well, it's getting over listening to yourself, actually live hearing yourself is weird.
Yeah.
Man, I need to apologize to everyone I know. This is what you have to listen to. This is what I sound like.
It's also rather difficult. I mean, we've come a long ways learning not to talk over top of each other because that actually sounds really confusing in a podcast.
You're good at that because you're a good listener. I'm a good interrupter. Nathan always says, oh, I'm sorry, Caritas. Did the middle of my sentence interrupt the beginning of yours? When you're really excited too about a conversation, right? You start talking about some good stuff.
Yeah.
Like Jesus. That's when the conversation gets really like intense, but it doesn't work on podcast form. You need to wait.
Yeah. You have to wait your turn, actually.
Yeah. Look That's at hard. You waiting your turn.
Here we are talking over each other.
Yeah.
You might want to say that again because I talked over you.
No, leave it. This is the real deal here. This is what happens.
So, Caritas, when we started, we used to record 2.5 hours of footage.
Yeah.
And narrow it down to like 45
minutes.
It was
all the ums, or the pauses, you know. Because the vision was when we get together, it's just fire. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Why don't we just take that living room experience and put it in podcast form? A lot harder than it sounds. Getting to that natural conversation, which our guests have all said too. Like, oh, this is a lot more awkward than I thought it would be.
Yeah, we've had some great guests and more to come. I don't know how successful we've been in taking those living room conversations and bringing them to our Let's Go Uppers.
But we've just been babies. You got to give it a chance.
Right. Okay? We're just getting there.
You can't be hard on a baby. We're only 1 year old.
That's right. A lot of fun, though. Yeah. We have had so much fun over the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking through some of our podcast titles. Episode number 5, Timeless. Was epic.
Yes, that was our producer Ruth's favorite.
Her favorite, that's right.
We haven't been able to top her favorite yet.
No, actually, she still says that's her favorite, and it was one of our first ones.
Ruth, way out there in producer world, is still your favorite. Thumbs up.
She's giving us the thumbs up right now, actually. And we talked about worship. One of my favorite guests still, well, they were all my favorite, but I loved Jasper Lee. She was so awesome.
It's because she bribed you with all these glorious gifts.
That's right. She did. She brought a lot of gifts.
If you want to be Dean's favorite, shower him with gifts.
She brought an eagle, which is right up there behind that camera. She named our cameras Trinity.
Yeah. Jasper, if you were listening, he still goes with that. He still introduces the cameras by the names you gave them. So well done.
Well done. That's right. She did our intro and our outro. She did it so well. Mm-hmm. She knew it better than we do, actually.
She's a natural.
That's right. We should have her on again sometime.
Yeah. You know, it's awesome having guests, the variety, seeing how you can have so many different people with so many different ways of expressing themselves and experiencing the Lord, be able to just share that with people. That's one thing I love, right? It's, I think, nerve-wracking for some people, like if you're not used to speaking as a pastor or in front of a group, but realizing we all have something and it doesn't have to look like anyone else's, you know, everyone has their own special relationship with the Lord and special experiences. And yeah, that's one part I love.
One of our most distinguished guests and the furthest away was your uncle.
Yes, Thorsted Olskarsson. Yeah, that was fun. Got to snag him in here while he's visiting.
Yeah, all the way from Iceland. Yeah, we talked about a lot of things. We had communion together, episode 29. I don't even remember that. Crazy hope.
Crazy hope. Oh, yeah.
We've talked a lot about union with Jesus.
Look at the bliss of union. How do I not even remember this title?
And, of course, epic was Meet the Other Half 1 and 2.
Yeah, that was fun.
Still a lot of people comment as that being their favorite.
I still laugh at the fact me and Adeline just going back and forth talking about you and you're just sitting right there as if you're not there. Like, hello, I'm sitting right here.
I'm used to that.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. So if you enjoyed today's podcast, consider hitting like and or subscribe.
Or you can just do it because it's our birthday.
Good point, Caritas. Hit like and subscribe just because it's our birthday. And share. It always helps. Notification bell in order to be notificated.
Because be real with yourself here, folks. You don't want to miss this.
No.
These sweet, supple voices on your Monday morning.
Commute.
The first thing you hear at the beginning of the week.
And Caritas, our website, it's growing. Let'sgoup.us. Our website is not a baby anymore either. Lots of great things on there. Okay, and in order to commemorate our 52nd podcast, 1 year.
Drum roll, please.
Okay, we're going to start putting on our soaking music tracks.
Oh, nice.
We're going to create a new playlist on Let's Go Up YouTube channel.
Okay.
Yeah, and on there will be all of the tracks.
Nice. So if you have 3 hours, 3.5 hours just
to kill,
and just go click on the soaking track.
Well, after you're done listening to Let's Go Up, if your commute is super long, head over and...
That's dangerous, though, driving and listening to that.
Yeah, that's right.
So can you explain a little bit about what this type of music is?
What happened to me is I spend a lot of time in the presence of God. And when I do, I listen to soaking music, instrumental worship, and it just kind of goes in the background. I've listened to so much of it that I've used up all of the tracks that I can find on the internet. And so I decided about 6 months ago, okay, I think I need to make some myself.
Yeah, you know, you're a problem solver. You know, you run out of options, just start creating new options.
That's right.
I like it.
So that's what I did. I'm going to start putting them each week on a playlist so people can listen to them. And we've used a lot of them at the end of our podcasts.
Yeah.
Even 2 weeks ago, we put one of them on the end.
We're all anxiously waiting for your musical debut singing. Soaking singing.
There's a reason why I do instrumental music. Instrumental.
You can be the instrument, Dean. You don't have to even use words.
Do you know how many people have tried to get me to sing over the years?
But maybe that's the problem. They're trying to just get you to sing like a hymn or a contemporary worship song. Maybe it's all about a new sound, Dean.
There's no new sound coming from my voice box. I can tell you that.
I'm going to get it out of you one of these days.
Let's see if that happens.
Yeah, okay.
Let's just see.
You're like, moving on.
Moving right on.
Moving right along. Do you have a favorite episode that we've talked about this year?
I don't think so.
I've never been able to pick favorites.
What's your favorite color?
I don't have a favorite color. I can't pick because it depends on what it's for and what the day brings.
Right.
You know, is this a yellow day or a blue day? But I don't have one that just stands out. But then I learned a good trick. When my daughter was really little, she used to say her favorite color was rainbow. And I'm like, oh, genius. Because that's all of the colors right there.
So nothing stands out to you in this bouquet of flowers?
They all stand out to me, all in their own unique, amazing ways. I couldn't say one over the other. When I met Nathan, him and his friends, they were all about their favorite numbers. What's your favorite numbers? One of the first questions they all asked me, like, how old are you people? And why do you all have favorite numbers? I didn't understand it. Never had favorite movie, actor, color, food. Just give me all the food.
Fair enough.
And same with the podcasts. They're all wonderful in their own unique ways. But I do have a favorite child. I have a favorite son and a favorite daughter.
That's like my mother. She used to say, you're my favorite oldest you're my favorite middle and you're my favorite youngest.
Yeah.
They're like, Mom, come on, make your choice. And she was like, no.
She gets it, right? Like, how do I pick a favorite? You're all unique in your own different ways.
Can you imagine Father God, untold billions of children, and he knows each one of them and every single one of them is unique enough to be his favorite unique 996,655,000th child. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every one of us is loved by him in a unique way. And he showers his favor on each one of us.
Yeah. It's mind blowing.
Yeah. Yes. Awesomeness. Well, Cretus, another year, you're number
two. Let's go up.
Let's go up. I must say, I love the podcasts where we've talked about new creation, how new we've been made in Christ. Mm-hmm. We still have to do one called How New is New.
Oh, yes. Look, I'm even wearing, there's a butterfly on my shirt because, you know, the new creation.
Right.
We no longer are little caterpillars eating leaves. We're glorious butterflies. Our diet has changed. We now drink succulent nectar.
Yeah.
We fly and soar instead of creep and crawl. We nurture the plants and the environment around us.
Oh, I never thought of that. Mm. Okay, you have a good point there. Caterpillars, they kind of like eat the leaves.
Yeah.
Butterflies, they pollinate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
And read up on what happens inside that little cocoon. That is some crazy stuff. This caterpillar just completely disintegrates. All of its cells disintegrate. Like it gets a completely new genetic makeup. I think these disc cells remain or something. And from those, an entirely new creature is born. It's not a caterpillar with wings, but it actually completely disintegrates. All of its cells melt into just nothingness. And then it rebuilds a whole new creature. Brand spanking new.
Wow. Even has a new purpose.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Our papa, our dad, he is the scientist. So
he is,
he's just looking down like, oh man, look at those little nerds. They think they know it. Yeah. So this is where we're going today.
Yes, it is. This is where we're going.
We're related to the guy who has all the answers, who knows all the things, the ultimate mathematician and scientist, the ultimate geneticist, the ultimate leader and father. And,
I'm going to switch over to another screen here.
Okay. Well, then I will too, just to be like you.
Going to try to be natural today.
Not me. I'm just going to fully embrace the awkward.
That's a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. No use in faking it.
There is no need to fake anything here. And let's go up. So I'm going to start reading.
Okay. You're going to start reading this section of scripture that really just, again, bounced off the page at you, right? Just...
Yeah. I think as soon as I start to read, everybody will know where it is. We don't even need to tell people.
I'm going
to
tell people.
You are going to tell them. Okay. Let's tell them eventually.
Eventually. Okay.
I will give you a hint. It's in the New Testament.
Nice hint.
Nice hint.
Yeah.
That narrows it down.
Narrows it down. Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, when I first came to proclaim to you the secrets of God... So that's where I first got stuck right there. Because that word secrets is mysterion. Paul. Oh, I narrowed it down some more. It's Paul.
Okay.
Paul was all about the mysterion.
Yeah.
I refused to come as an expert. He could have been an expert. He was an expert. But he refused to come as one. Trying to impress you with my eloquent speech and lofty wisdom.
Lofty wisdom.
Once again, he sure could have done that.
Yeah.
But what did he do? For while I was with you, I was determined to be consumed with one topic, Jesus, the crucified Messiah. I stood before you feeling inadequate, filled with reverence for God, and trembling.
Wow.
Trembling. That's a frequency right there.
Wow. I love that. Consumed by God.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Consumed with one topic. It reminds me of a friend of mine. Someone told him, it doesn't always have to be about Jesus every time I talk to you. And there you go. He was like, Paul, just consumed with one topic.
Point well taken.
Okay. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Whoa.
I find it very interesting that it says our faith shouldn't be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Yeah.
because I think a lot of people, they want to put their faith in the word, the spoken word or the written word, but our faith's supposed to be in the power of God.
Yeah, and it's so easy to have your faith in the wisdom of men. For example, what you've been taught by a pastor or by a book or by a Bible study group or something, but to really only have your faith in the power of God. Faith in the wisdom of man, that's going to be logic, reasoning, analytical thinking, the way that seems right to a man, you know.
Yep.
You can't be that free. Well, what about this? Like, that's faith in the wisdom of man, right? It makes sense to the human reasoning and the way we see the world unfold before us and the way the majority of people live. But we aren't the majority of people. We are the remnant few. What does he say? The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man.
Yes.
So we really need to hold on to that faith in the power of God.
So I was thinking about that, faith in the power of God. Like, if you're holding on to something by faith, you're trying to get heaven to move earth on your behalf. Well, that has to be done by the power of God. That's why you have to have faith in God's power.
Yeah.
And his ability and his willingness to move on your behalf, right? Wow. And you have to have faith in his goodness.
Yeah. And a big part of what I see there is this power of God. It completely transformed Paul's life.
Yeah.
I feel like the signs, miracles, and wonders are almost easier for most people to have faith in. You see someone get out of a wheelchair who's paralyzed. You have faith that God did that. But then what about when you see someone who's completely transformed by the Holy Spirit? Well, are you telling me that you never sin? Or it's so much harder for some reason to have faith in that power of God too. But he has the power to completely transform a person, to completely renew and regenerate this planet. Do we have faith in the power of God or in the power of brokenness and what's happened and what Satan's done, but like actually in his power?
I think we should be careful that we don't put faith in brokenness. A lot of people are impressed by brokenness. They talk about it all the time. It's on the forefront of their mind, brokenness. Oh, there are so many broken people. Everywhere is broken. Are we impressed with broken here? Or are we impressed with the ability of our Father to put back together broken better than ever?
Wow.
Brand new, like it's never even looked before.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because our Father is a redeeming and a healing God.
Woo!
Yeah.
Give me an amen! Wow, okay. So, wholeness, liberty.
I like the language that says that we shouldn't identify with the brokenness, but we should identify with the wholeness.
Yeah.
If we identify with wholeness, we're on the path to becoming whole.
Yeah. Everything that we used to identify with, he says it's dead. Let's have faith that it's dead.
And faith in the power of God that is strong enough to transfigure us, transform us, metamorpho, just like the butterfly.
Yeah.
Dissolve all the old
into a nice mushy heap of goop.
And then renew us into something brand new. Okay, I'm starting to get very excited here, but we have a whole chapter to go.
Are we going to rewind a little bit to how Paul started this little segment here about being consumed with one topic?
Let's do it.
Jesus.
Let's go there.
Yeah, let's go there. Okay. Hi, I'm Paul. Jesus.
I'm consumed. I have one job.
Yeah, Jesus. Okay, how did he live his life? We've talked about this before, you know, looking at the way Jesus lived and identifying with that, not identifying ourselves with various people who wrote all these glorious psalms and other books of the Bible, not the disciples even, but Jesus, new creation, sons and daughters with the same Father and the same Spirit in us that was in him. Identifying with that. I feel like Paul was on this crazy train.
He was on a train. There's another thing I noticed in these first few words in this chapter. Paul wasn't trying to win arguments. You cannot win an argument with another argument.
You want to try?
And go. If somebody is determined to argue a point of doctrine or a point of view, if you try to argue with them, it'll only escalate the argument.
Right.
Paul, he didn't go with lofty wisdom. He didn't go with eloquent speech. He wasn't trying to win anything here. He was just consumed with one thing, and he stuck on that one subject.
Yeah.
Jesus and him crucified. And that's all that he said. And it came along with a display of power. And he was happy enough to let people experience and know the power of God. He knew that if they encountered the power, then the arguments would go away.
Yes, to know him.
Yeah.
Just to see him.
And that's the thing I realize is that when arguments come up in people's minds, it is because they're trying to engage God with their mind. Mm. It says in the psalm, if you seek me, you'll find me if you search for me with all your heart, not with all your mind. Mm-hmm. Sometimes our mind can get in the way. But I noticed that once we get our heart right and we get our heart aligned with the heart of the Father, the arguments, they actually take a back seat. They don't matter anymore, but it's not like he's not going to answer your questions. Mm. But your priority is going to be different. Now, your priority is the presence of God. Mm. And in the presence of God, that's where you will find the answers to what you're looking for. Sometimes the answers look very different. And it can be on great, big, lofty subjects of all kinds. Mm. Things that seem really important to the world, issues that are happening in the world, things that are huge that are in our face right now. And everybody wants to know what you think about that or what I think about it. You know what? Actually, I'm consumed by one thing. Mm. And if I keep my heart focused there, the arguments and the issues, they take a way, way back seat. Somehow they become unimportant. Hard to put language to that. Have you found that?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, you can sit in any lunchroom. That's the conversation. What's going on in the world and the two sides? And the whole focus is down here. And even in the God language group, it's how do we bring God into that versus right. seeing that he's here in us. Every single person on this planet, like you said, he loves us all so much. We all are made in such a unique way. We all can make the world a better place without having to say a word. Nobody knows your political agenda or opinion. You're just carrying the Lord into every situation. He's with you everywhere. So you're not trying to draw him into the problem or into the situation or into the argument. You're just one with him. That union, the focus on him, being consumed by him. And we each have the circle of influence around you even. And that can grow and that can expand. But sitting and arguing goes nowhere. But walking in the light with him, that's where we're going to see change in the world without the stress and fear and anxiety.
Yeah, because we carry it with us wherever we go.
Literally, we have the solution to every single problem within us. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, standing in front of all these accusations and arguments, he didn't stand there arguing back and,
no, he didn't.
And defending himself or the situations or giving the answers to all the world's problems.
Pilate said to Jesus, "Don't you want to defend yourself? Do you not realize that I could set you free?" Jesus wouldn't even answer him. He said, mm-hmm. "You would have no power if it wasn't given to you from above." Mm-hmm.
You stand there and nothing hitting you is swaying you mm-hmm. because you're so rooted and grounded in love.
Yeah.
In yep. Acts 4, he says, "They saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled, realizing they had been with Jesus." Mm-hmm.
That makes me want to just be with Jesus.
I wonder if that's what Paul was doing. You know how he kind of disappeared off the grid for a while?
Yeah.
I feel like he was just being with Jesus. I don't know. Like he knew the Torah. He had everything memorized. Yep. He was the best of the best. He didn't need to know any more knowledge. He just needed to be with Jesus.
Like it says here, he didn't come with fancy speech or lofty wisdom. He sure could have. He came in simplicity. In verse 6 of this chapter, and by the way, shall we tell them where we are now?
Mm-hmm. Just do it. Bam! You have sat through 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5.
That's right. In verse 6, Paul starts on a bit of a different path. He starts contrasting two different kinds of oratory presentations.
That sounds fancy.
That's very fancy. I'm not trying to be wise and learned, and I'm not trying to use eloquent speech. But in the first part, in the first 5 verses, he's talking about preaching the gospel of the crucified Christ. Now he says, however, there is a wisdom that we do speak of when we are among the spiritually mature.
I love those howevers. However.
Yeah. So now he's kind of contrasting. I'm consumed with one thing, Christ and Christ crucified. And however, when I'm among the spiritually mature, that word there is teleos.
Oh,
we talked about it last week.
Yes.
It's perfect.
Perfect.
Yes. When I'm among the perfected ones, then I speak wisdom. And he doesn't call it preaching anymore. He calls it speaking. So now he's sharing. Now he's sharing his heart. And now he's sharing wisdom. But he's very careful how he describes this kind of wisdom.
Let's hear it.
It is a wisdom that didn't originate in this present age.
Whoa.
So where did it come from? So obviously it came from eternity, a different age. It's a wisdom that came from heaven or from another dimension. Nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, and it was hidden before now in a mysterion.
I like your little pre-mysterion.
Yep. So he's speaking mysterions.
Wow.
Greet us.
Yeah.
We've spent a year speaking mysterions on Let's Go Up.
He likes his mysteries.
That's right.
Father of ours.
Yeah. And Paul, he was the master of mystery.
Yeah, he loved the mystery.
Yeah.
He embraced the mystery.
Yep. This secret plan destined before the ages was to bring us into glory.
Say what?
Yeah. So Paul starts talking about sharing his heart. He starts talking about mysterions. And he says that these mysteries were destined before the age to bring us into glory.
Yeah.
The whole purpose of the mysteries of Christ are to bring us into glory. I don't even know what to say about that.
Oh my goodness. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory.
For our glory.
Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of
glory.
Wow.
Yeah, so there you go.
You know, this reminds me, one of your favorite books back in Genesis, in the glorious Garden of Eden, the serpent says, oh yeah, you won't die. God knows in the day you eat this tree, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Okay. Reading this here in 1 Corinthians, God already had destined us from the beginning to receive his wisdom.
Of course he had.
It was already going to be revealed to us. We were already going to know him deeply, know his glory. We didn't trust his timing.
You're right.
We didn't trust his goodness.
That was a mic drop.
Ooh, birthday party mic drop.
Yes.
There's something so good and loving about the way he wants to reveal his glory.
He wants to reveal wisdom and even knowledge to us in direct heart-to-heart communication and oneness and union. He didn't want us to get it from eating. He didn't want us to get it from understanding the difference between good and evil. He wanted us to get it from heart to heart, from spirit to spirit.
And that was always his plan here.
It was.
From the beginning, ordained before the ages, he had already destined us.
And the wisdom, when it's assimilated that way, it brings us into glory.
Listen to these nuggets of glory I found in Ephesians. Okay. Even though I was showing you my Bible, Ephesians is trying to escape. It's going rogue on me. Literally, the entire chapter, just that one, the binding, it's like sliding out.
Like in one big piece?
Yeah, the whole section. I don't know. Ephesians, get back in here. It's a rascally little fella. Anyway, Ephesians, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. This is a long range plan here, okay? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. We're always so surprised. Wow, this is like long range plan to him.
He did it all before the foundation of the earth. He had all our works all laid out.
Yeah.
When we find it, that's his will. I think someday we're going to do a podcast on the will of God.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think the will of God is something way different than what most people think it is. Most people think that God has a will for us because he wants to control us. Nope. That's as far as we're going to go with that. Back to our subject.
Yeah.
In the context of what we've just said, listen to this verse.
Okay.
These hidden mysteries, these secret plans destined before the ages to bring us into glory, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine.
Okay, if you can imagine it, that's not it.
That's right.
It's higher. It's more mind-blowing.
Yep. These are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. How does it say it in your translation?
Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Okay, there's something unimaginable here. I guess that's why we have to renew our mind. You can't argue your way or debate your way into this.
Yeah. There's so much in the life of Jesus. I read through, you know, the first few chapters of Matthew, and already Jesus had shape-shifted like 3 times.
That guy.
Transported. There is so much available for us.
Yeah. Didn't his family kind of say, Jesus, you need to like chill out a little. Like people are going, there's too many people here. You're drawing too much attention. Tone it down. Yeah. Okay.
Great. Just moving on. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by his Spirit.
Whoa. This is where it gets really juicy. Okay, you guys, we're almost at the peak of this mountaintop of glory here. You got to make sure we get this all squeezed in.
We're going so far up that there might not be any oxygen, but that's okay. We don't need oxygen up here. Yes, he has revealed to us his innermost heart and the deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. Once again, he's talking about mysterions, because that word mystery is mysterion in the Greek.
Oh, yeah. But God has revealed them to us. Mm-hmm. These crazy, unimaginable, out of our mind, blowing, illogical, irrational, crazy things. He has revealed them to us through his Spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
I don't want to limit anything in my life. I want to come before him every morning with a completely blank page. Mm-hmm. Doodle whatever you want, God, even the weird stuff.
Let's go farther today than we've ever gone before.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Every day, okay? I don't want to bring in anything from yesterday. This is a new, vulnerable, excited page of life. Always willing to be blown away.
Yep. Take us further in what you have for us today. There's more.
There's more. And he wants to reveal it. The things which God has prepared, his Spirit reveals these things to us. This is huge, okay? Because I think we try to seek these things from other people, podcasts or preachers, or books, learned people. We try to seek these things through all these sources, but all these sources are meant to point us to the source.
Yep.
I believe preachers, they're here, their role is to point us to the Holy Spirit. Yep. This is the one that's going to give you all the answers. We bring all these questions to all these people, whoever we follow or admire, we bring them the questions. We should be saying, okay, great question. Let's bring it to the Holy Spirit, because he says the Holy Spirit searches all things. You told me once, the Holy Spirit is like the Google search engine. How did you put it?
Yeah. My logic is that, you know, the heart of the Father is the biggest database in the universe.
Yeah.
It's way too big.
Yeah.
We need a search engine to find what he has for us.
So true.
Right? Oh, so I wanted to do something today, right in the middle, right here.
Okay.
I wanted us to take a moment right here to just go to Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, will you search the heart of the Father for me and find out what he has for me?
Yes, let's do that. Because, you know, he says right here, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God.
Yeah. So if you're in Let's Go Up Land, just pray along with us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to search the heart of the Father on our behalf and to find the things that are in his heart for us and to reveal to us heart to heart the things that he's prepared for us, because that's what you do, so that we can understand what his will is, those things that are good, acceptable, and perfect. And I would say, if you're wondering what you were created for, this is the prayer to pray. Holy Spirit, search the heart of the Father for me. We send you in Jesus' name, like an arrow, to the heart of the Father.
Yes. Pew.
Yo. Yep.
Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, who we have now received.
Yep. Just a couple of sentences down. This really hit me this week. It says, and we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit. And not with words taught to us by human wisdom. So you can't get this from listening to a teaching.
Yeah.
but you can get it from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And this is the cool thing. We join together Spirit-revealed truth with Spirit-revealed words. So what's happening here? We're asking the Holy Spirit to go to the Father and find out what's in the heart of the Father. The Holy Spirit brings it to us, and it's so grand. It's bigger than we could imagine. It's above everything that we could think. Mm-hmm. I find this so cool. What Holy Spirit does is he starts to develop language in us for it.
Yeah.
We don't perceive it at first, but he starts to bring together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. Mm. So you know what that's like. Holy Spirit starts building a concept in you. He starts building realities in you. He starts framing worlds in you. Mm-hmm. And you don't really understand at first what they are. Mm-hmm. But he keeps downloading this invisible, incomprehensible wisdom into our heart. Mm-hmm. And that wisdom, as it flows and as you open up to it, eventually language will start to be formed to express mm-hmm. what that is.
It's always awkward because you get so excited when he starts pouring these revelations into your heart. All of us have had this experience in our life where you're trying to share it with someone, but it's not coming out.
It's not there.
You can't articulate it.
Yeah.
That was one of the things when we had met you years and years and years ago, is you had already gone through that particular revelation we were going through. We didn't have language for it. And you start speaking and it was the language that we hadn't received yet.
If you just be patient though, mm-hmm. right? Just give it time and let that language come. Let mm-hmm. that language be formed. Once that finds its place in your heart and once you receive the language to be able to articulate it, that's the kind of wisdom Paul's talking about here.
Yeah.
Those are the mysterions. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that when you share them, they bring hearts alive.
Yeah.
Because it's made your heart alive first. Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't understand why it's making your heart alive, you're feeling something on it, ask the Holy Spirit to do in you what it did in that person.
Yeah. But if it makes your heart come alive, know that there's something on it.
Yeah.
And ask Holy Spirit for further clarification.
Yeah.
Develop that language in me. I want that.
Yeah. I like the smell of that.
Yeah.
Ooh, pleasing aroma.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I love the wording. He says, now we have received the Spirit who is from God so that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Okay.
Right.
That's so that we've been talking about tonight, mm-hmm. this morning, today. What time is it? There's no time in Let's Go Upland.
No, we're on eternal time here.
This is the purpose. God's wisdom is not meant to be hidden in mystery. He wants to reveal it to us. Yeah. He wants to show us these things. And we have this incredible resource, the Holy Spirit, that's available to everybody. Because I've had someone tell me they don't think the Holy Spirit's for everybody. But the Holy Spirit is available to you and you. I'm going Trinity. So that we can know what God's given us. Mm-hmm. We can explain it to people, but we can't understand it for them.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit can, though.
Yes. That's how Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. Mm. He first brings it and it's almost imperceptible. Mm. We just feel it. We know it because we know him and we know his heart and we can feel the heartbeat. That's the first thing for me.
Mm.
I feel the heartbeat of God on it. Then I start to perceive it on a more cognitive level. And then language starts developing in me to be able to put it into a form that I can articulate.
Yeah.
And then that very last verse that says, this is how we come to know and to have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
That's the way it works right there.
So good. You know, and it goes back to receive the kingdom like a child.
Yeah. I would like to challenge everybody listening and watching, and especially everyone who's stuck with us for this whole year. You know what? There's more. Mm. There's more for you than you have ever thought, than you've ever imagined. Ask the Holy Spirit to go and find it for you.
Yeah.
To reveal it to you, to reveal it to your heart. Put off the old ways of thinking.
Yeah. You know, when he says many, many, many are on the wide road, it's easy, right? It makes sense. It fits into the natural realm. But there's this narrow road. Yeah.
That leads to life.
And few find it. And it feels isolating at times because few find it. And he says it's difficult. And I don't think it's difficult because of spiritual challenges and battles, I think it's because you so want everyone on this road with you because we are designed to be united and together. And that part is difficult. Like, I want you on this. You know, I want you to see this. I feel like that's the difficult part for me. I so want everyone on this road of freedom and joy and bliss and unity and oneness with the Lord. It's easy and light.
I completely relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want all your friends there.
Yeah.
But we actually have to each be on it by ourselves,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But we pray.
Mm.
Okay, Cretus.
Hey, Dean.
Cheers to 1 year.
Cheers to 1 year. You know, it's just a little taste and a little aroma for all of our friends out there in Let's Go Up world. You know, we can go to the Holy Spirit and there's more than we could ever imagine available.
So that's where we're going to leave it.
Yep.
But before we go, we're going to pray.
Mm, yes. Thank you so much, Lord, that we get to do this with you, this incredible year of growth and learning and going up with you and realizing through that whole process that we are already there, positioned with you, and the perspective shifts and the growth. We're just so thankful, Lord. And we are so looking forward to this next year as we discover more and more of your glorious mysteries that you want to reveal to us. We come to you with our blank page, vulnerable and ready and willing for you to draw and you to reveal.
Amen.
Amen.
So thanks for joining us today. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation as much as we have. And we will see you in 1 week's time. Have an awesome week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.